How's it going, guys?
Going well. How you doing?
You know, it's going pretty good. Life is good. Daniel, you're good. Joel, you're good.
I'm hanging in there. Hanging
Zach,
in there.
How are you?
I'm going to see Charlotte Lawrence with her father play the governor's ball on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
That's going to be sick.
It's at Citi Field this year, which I imagine means the parking lot, because they're not setting up stages on the green.
Probably
not. No, but isn't Citi Field it's a stadium, right?
Citi Field is a baseball stadium. Yes. But Governor's Ball is typically a music festival that's thrown on Governor's Island, which is a small little island just off Manhattan. I've never been to it. But this year, I'm assuming because of COVID and protocols and not slamming people into ferries to get there, it says it's at Citi Field. Now, Citi Field's a baseball stadium, which makes me think they're using the parking lot.
Yeah,
do you follow my logic?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my experience,
I don't understand why they wouldn't use the field is my question, because you put a tarp down on. They do concerts inside stadiums all the time. Why not do it?
This is something I don't know because I've never been to one. When you go to a concert at a baseball stadium, cover the green.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They could.
I think it's because there's multiple stages, Donald.
That was
my next
question.
It's one of those things. It's like lots of different, so they could put a stage over this parking lot, a different stage on that parking lot.
Oh, well, that makes sense. And then the stadium itself.
That might be the main stage. Maybe main stage at the in the actual stadium potentially, and then a bunch of stages out.
I don't know, but you know what? I'll know. I'll know Saturday.
Yes, you will.
So that's fun. I get to be with Bill when he sees his daughter play her first major mega festival.
You and Bill are sharing a lot of moments together nowadays, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know if you saw me at the Emmys. I did lose, Donald.
I sure did.
Did you guys, how did you feel did you feel nervous when it was my category?
Oh my gosh.
I almost cried when you lost. Dude, are you kidding me right now? Like, you want to talk about pissed off? I took the camera out. I was recording. Like, yo, it's about to be on and popping.
Oh.
And then you lose. And I was like,
sorry.
That'll never see the light of day.
That's literally verbatim my experience. I was like, except for in the middle of them reading out the category, my internet went out. And I was like, not now. Like, hold tight, internet. And it came back just in time for them to be like, and Zach Braff. And I was like, yes, here we go. And then it didn't happen. I was like, no.
It's such a nerve-wracking experience sitting there. You know, your stomach's turning.
How do you not act disappointed when they don't call
your
name?
Oh, I had practiced my they got it right face. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not just clapping, but there's a little nod like, yeah, they got it right. That's correct. You got to give the nod to sell it.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for women and them having the opportunity.
Sure.
In this, but fuck that bullshit, yo. 100, man. My boy did the fucking best show. I don't care what they say. Now I got to watch some bullshit show that I don't care to watch to validate my point that my boy is better. I'm just putting it out there.
I didn't actually watch. It was the flight attendant, right? I haven't seen it.
No, it's the other one, the Hacks.
Oh,
flight attendant.
One, right?
I know the people on flight attendant. That's Berlanti and them. Okay if they win.
Wait, I'm sorry they don't know this because obviously I was freaking blacked out. It was director of Hacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Hacks is a very good show. You would
it
like
a good show.
It's cute.
But it was fun.
There's no biscuits episode.
No Ted Lasso.
The fucking biscuits were the biscuits were the main focus on the show for the whole season.
Carried into season two.
It's funny. We went to an after party.
There is nothing in this show, Hacks, that whatever episode was directed.
The pilot.
Sure, that has carried on. I don't give a fuck.
Calm down. It's funny. So we go to the after party. Well, anyway, it was fun to be on like the winning team. You know, everyone kept winning. It was so exciting. And it was exciting to go on the stage because Bill said everybody come up. And then we go to the after party, and it was almost like a horror movie. Like everywhere I went, everyone had a trophy. And then the theme of the party was biscuits. So it was like biscuits, trophy, trophy, trophy. I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
That's the bullshit. Zach. That's the bullshit. That's the bullshit, and I dare to say it.
The theme of the party was biscuits.
I dare to say it. I believe the producers of the show even thought you were going to win.
I don't know. Whenever. It feels silly to talk about it now, but I did lose, but it was fun to go. when it's over, there's like this sigh of relief because, you know, you're so tense. I realized how tense I was. You know, I obviously really wanted to win, but my stomach had been so tight and turning over the whole thing.
There wasn't that what if I did win it?
Oh,
afterwards?
Of course. I practiced my speech. I definitely thought about the words that I was going to say.
You didn't want to run up on the young lady and be
and do like a Yeezy?
Yeah, and be like, you know,
Bill Lawrence made the best video ever.
Yeah, you don't want to run up on stage and do the
anybody wants to do that.
What did he say? ODB.
ODB has the best one ever. Listen,
I'm gonna let you finish.
ODB had the
I'm
best.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. The
I'm gonna
the
let you finish.
One.
But Beyonce had the best video ever.
That is true. That is
best video of all
time.
He
wasn't wrong, but he shouldn't have done it.
Well, it's the same thing when Wu-Tang lost. He's like, look, y'all, fucking ODB goes up on stage with a suit. I put a suit on. I went and bought a suit for y'all. You know what I mean? And Puffy, you know, Puffy's good, but, you know, Wu-Tang's for the kids also.
Classic.
I should have gone up there to the Hacks director and said, listen, I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
No.
But episode two
but
Bill of Ted Lasso is the
Bill
best.
Bill Lawrence had the best video ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I saw a lot.
Anyway, congratulations to Hacks. You know, congratulations.
It actually is a great show.
We joke around here.
Not only is Jean Smart extraordinary, but the young gal Hannah is incredible too. I saw her too. I told her just as I came out of the porta potty, I saw her, and I said, "You are so talented," and it's fun. You know, it's fun.
And she said, "Thank you. I'm about to take the award from you."
No, she was the actress, not the filmmaker.
Oh, okay.
It was cool. I don't know what to say other than it was so fun seeing lots of people. Lots of people sent their love to you, Donald. We're like a married couple. Whenever someone sees me, they're like, send my love to Donald.
I want to know who did that. Who did that? Keenan
did that.
I love him. Thank you, Keenan. I miss you, brother.
There were lots of others.
All the people that sent their love to me through you, like Kevin Feige, I saw the picture, bro.
Yeah.
I saw the picture.
Well,
Kevin
I had a
Feige.
Cool moment. You guys will geek out. I was at the valet with Elizabeth Olsen and her.
What?
And her, I don't know if it's her.
You was hanging
fiance.
Out with the Scarlet Witch.
So, and also Catherine Hahn, who I've known forever. She went to Northwestern.
And Agatha?
She's so great.
She's incredible. She went to NU. Anyway, I was at the valet stand with Elizabeth Olsen and her boyfriend or fiance. I don't know which one.
He doesn't exist. He's not valid right now in my eyes. She is single woman out on the prowl, ready to make it happen.
Okay, you're married, so take a deep breath.
Oh, I wasn't talking about for me. I was talking about for my friend. This is for my friend. This is not for me.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which friend you're talking about. But I look like 3 feet to my right, and there's a guy with a baseball hat. And I'm like, who? Not many people rock a baseball hat at all times, even award ceremonies. And I said to her, is that Kevin Feige? And she goes, yeah, Kevin, do you know Zach? And so he comes over. And we just started shooting the shit. And he obviously knows I'm dating Flo. So we started talking about all the exciting things that happened with Black Widow. And I told him that I buy all of the Black Widow toys. And I've made basically a shrine to Flo on my mantle of Black Widow toys.
I love it.
And we were just shooting the shit. And he was so cool. And then the capper, he said, I've loved you for years, man. My wife is in the medical profession. And I've seen every single episode of Scrubs.
Oh. Does he want to come on this podcast? I promise I'll be good. I will behave myself.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not worried about you.
I'm
worried about Donald here.
Then I said, yeah, I don't know if Donald can handle it. And then I said to him, what is your secret, man? You don't seem to miss. And then he did that thing where you knock on your head like it's wood.
Mm. Love that.
And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Since he's taken the reins, he literally has put out great cinema after film. You know what I mean? Like all of the movies to television, everything. Even this What If that's going on right now. You know what I mean? That shit is
amazing.
Fire, dude. Yeah. It's like whatever Marvel is doing right now, I truly, truly wish some of my other favorite companies would focus on. You know what I mean? It's just
Laser
like, it's
in.
Just. It's
I met
just
the
like,
director of WandaVision 2. That was cool.
Great storytelling, man. Great storytelling. Just like creative storytelling, too.
Yeah.
Catherine's so cool, man. I'm so happy that she's having this big break because she's so talented.
Catherine but do you on. See? But do you see how it works, Zach? Like all of these people put in this work, and they do all of this great work in small roles or roles that were supposed to be big and never make it, and then they find a home at Marvel, and Marvel says, "Yeah, you know what? All of that stuff, you know, all of that stuff is going to pay dividends because in this world you're going to be great." Now look at Catherine in that world. She's fucking an awesome character, and I hope to see her again.
Amen.
Yeah. Although they told me that there's definitely no more. I was like holding out, like they're gonna give these guys tons of money and make another season of that somehow. I guess they said no. They just gonna leave it as a perfect little one season thing.
Yeah, it goes into movies, bro. It all goes into movies. So look, this is how it is. The next Doctor Strange movie. So this is okay. So from my understanding, this is how it's gonna work.
Look how geeked up he is. He's salivating.
Because look, Feige is one of the smartest freaking execs in Hollywood for this shit, dude. Look, so three levels of superheroes is next. We already had the multi-mega shit where they all got together. Now we're going to have the Cosmic Avengers. We're going to have Earth's Mighty Avengers. And then we have the freaking Avengers of the Multiverse, the Multiverse Avengers. And that's where Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Wanda, like Vision, all of these people are a part of that. The galactic one is like Thor, fucking Guardians of the Galaxy, Nova Corps, like all of that, all of that stuff. And then the Earth will be like, you know, Spider-Man's also in the multiverse one, but then the what would that be? Cosmic? It's not cosmic. It would be what? What would it be called?
The multiverse. Anyway.
I guess it would be the multiverse, right?
It's the multiverse, yeah.
Right. Anyway, and then you have the Earth one, and I don't know who's going to be in that one yet, but I'm guessing like She-Hulk, freaking Ant-Man.
It looks like we might get some monstrosity in there.
You know what I mean? Like, excited. Or it could be the Thunderbolts might be Earth's
Avengers. Oh my
God,
can you imagine how thrilling that would be?
You're a dick. You're a dick for it. But like, Captain Marvel is a cosmic. Like, the whole shit is so fucking fire, man, and it's like, when I was a kid, I dreamt of this, and now here it comes. Here it comes.
Did you like my outfit?
You look great.
It's you look
the Ferragamo.
Nice.
Ooh, I cleaned up good, right?
So nice. Good.
You always clean
so
up
good that people came into my Twitter comments to tell me how good you looked.
Okay.
Like, Zach looks so good tonight. I'm like, yes, indeed. Okay. Very sharp.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie. I was jealous of the way you were looking at Bill when he was giving that speech.
There was genuine love in your eyes. You were like, oh.
Not only was there genuine love, it was like, dude, I've never seen you more proud in my life.
Well, dude, I love him. And, you know, he's been making TV for so long, starting in Spin City, and never got an Emmy, never got acknowledged. Look at all the joy he's brought to people from Spin City to Scrubs to Cougar Town to Ted Lasso. And lots of other ones that he's, you know, not as hands-on, but overseas. And look at all the joy and thousands of hours that he's brought to people and never once got acknowledged. And then I'm standing on that stage just in the corner looking at him. I was just so proud. I love him.
Yeah. I mean, let's just think about it. Think about all of the people that he introduced to this world also. You know what I mean? Like, it's really important as anyone, when you have the opportunity to look over your shoulder and help somebody else or bring other people with you, it's your duty to do that. And Bill's done it quite a bit with, you know, I did a pilot with Brett Goldstein. I did a pilot with him.
Oh, really?
Several years, but not several.
Was that the space one?
Yeah, with Bill. Me, Bill, Brett Goldstein, a bunch of other actors and actresses, like really a really good cast. And it was just really awesome to see Brett win an award because it was like, first of all, Bill put him in the pilot, in that pilot. The pilot didn't work. And he found something else for him. And he found some. Not only did he find something else for him, he found something that was perfect for him. And the dude goes on to win an Emmy, man. His first time ever being nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, Sterling says hi.
Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up. Sterling said hi.
Yeah.
What?
I had the funniest moment where, like,
Sterling said hi.
Yeah. What are you gonna take your dick now? right. I'm
just, it always feels good when you get that love. You know what I'm saying?
So listen,
shout out, Sterling K.
Listen, I'm on the line to the red carpet, and it's weird because most of the time you do these things, there's publicists all around, and there's lots and lots of people that aren't the actors or the people that are nominated, the creative folks. But on this one, it had been so pared down that no one had like a plus one. You're just standing there. And I get in line.
I was wondering why I wasn't with you, you know, because I was wondering.
I look to the right, and there's Mandy Moore. And we're standing next to each other online.
And were you feeling it like candy?
No, but it was just funny. We both had to laugh. The paparazzi guy took our picture, and she goes, "They should put that one next to the one from us from like 20 years ago." But it was fun. We caught up and we told stories, and she's doing great, and she looked beautiful. And
Have a baby?
Yeah, she just had a baby. Aww. It's just cool to like be around people that you know. I've known, you know, you and I've been coming up alongside all these people, so it's just fun to see people catch up, give hugs. You know, Billy Porter. I know Billy Porter since we were in.
Broken I was about
Hearts
to say,
together.
Dude, I saw.
And he
Billy
was wearing
Porter.
The most outrageous outfit. I walked up to him and go, "I tried that on and chose not to wear it." They didn't have it in my. I told him they didn't have it in my size.
What did he say?
He was cracking up.
Did you guys hug?
Of course we hug. I love that man.
Yeah, man. I watched Billy Porter back in the day on Broadway. My best friend was a usher when he was a teenager, or not a teenager, just graduated high school. And I used to go and get to see shows like Five Guys Named Moe and Grease with Rosie O'Donnell when it was on Broadway. And Billy Porter was an understudy in Five Guys Named Moe. And I got to see him perform once. And I remember being like, why the fuck is he the understudy? And then, I went and saw Grease, and he was beauty school dropout.
Teenage.
He was,
yes.
And honey, you blew it.
I had a funny Billy Porter story. When we were doing, Bullets over Broadway, he was in Kinky Boots, and he called out of his show, meaning he probably doesn't want me telling this on the podcast, but fuck it, meaning like I'm too sick to go on today, and then he came to see our show.
An honor.
He was like wearing a baseball hat and shit low, trying to be undercover.
Dude. You know he's fire when all your homophobic friends are like, Billy Porter the best, man. I don't give a fuck what anybody say. You know, dude.
And a lot of
you
people might,
know what the
a lot
deal
of people
is,
might
dude.
Know him from Pose, but that dude has the most insane voice you ever have heard. Mm-hmm. All right, should we get in the show, Donald Faison? Oh, and then on the airport, I ran into Dulé Hill, and I sent you a picture of us.
Saw that.
You ain't loyal, dude.
And he said he loves you.
I do love
I told him he should
Dulé
do a podcast
Hill.
For Psych.
These hoes ain't loyal.
All right, everybody. We're going to talk about the TV show Scrubs now. 5, 6, 7.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch show with Zach and
All right, we got an episode called My Fallen Idol, which was inspired, I learned, from Wiki.
These hoes ain't loyal. I'm a little upset. No, man. I'm not over it. I'm not over it.
Jealous type. Now I see why you didn't speak to Casey for like a week after she told you she wanted to bang Charlie Hunnam.
Zach, I love you.
Look, you got quiet.
enjoy doing this podcast by yourself today, Zach.
Wow.
You know what's funny about Casey's story is that that she was like, the game was F, marry, kill. And when she got to her F, she was like, I would fuck this shit.
Zach, I love you.
And just for that, we have an early play
no,
song.
Come
oh,
on.
No.
Play the song, Demi. Play the song, Demi.
Casey, come down here. I don't know none about raising these fools. So tell me what to do. I don't know none about raising these kids. And that's what it is.
You tell her what you said for this. You tell her what you just said, man. And you just caused a big fight. I'm just going to put it out there. It's your fault. Good
start. She's going to be like, did y'all play my theme song?
Hi, Casey.
Hi.
He's so jealous.
Oh, God. What happened?
Well, I'm telling him out at the Emmys who all the people I ran into, and he's not happy. He's jealous, and he's jealous that I had a drink with Dule Hill.
Well, he feels like you cheated on him.
I know. He's saying these hoes ain't loyal.
Well, you know, I was a little upset.
Surprise!
You were jealous on behalf of Donald that I was hanging out
with
other...
I was like, who's this other black guy?
How dare he? How dare he?
What in the fuck?
Dule was just sitting there minding his own business, but I like to drink mimosas when I fly. So I was like, Dule, you want a mimosa? He goes, in fact, I will have a mimosa. So I bought Dule Hill a mimosa.
Oh my God.
And then we took it, and I said, pull your mask down. We got to take a picture for Donald. And then Donald put it on Instagram saying, these hoes ain't loyal.
Yep.
I saw that.
And I saw that. I saw that he even tagged Dule.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And Dule was like, come on, man. It's just a drink.
You know, the love is deep over here.
I know.
I will tell you this, though. He almost cried when you didn't win.
I know. Aww. I almost did.
Such a
too.
Sweet guy.
And he was recording, and I was recording the TV. And then I was like, well, who the hell is that chick? So we had to cut the recording off because I was talking shit about all the other nominees.
I think it's so cute, though, that you guys were recording your reactions because you were so sure I was going to win.
I was for sure.
One day I'll win one for the team.
Next time.
All right, send him back. We got to do a show.
Okay. All right. Bye, I miss Casey. You guys.
Love you.
Bye, Casey. Good to see you, too. As always.
Good to see
you. I just like seeing you because it means we get to hear your theme song.
I know. I love it. Is that ringtone coming?
I don't know. Joelle doesn't reply to my ringtone requests.
Oh, my
what?
Gosh.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Come on. So my fallen idol was inspired by an episode of MASH, I learned, where there's a very similar storyline involving Hawkeye and Radar. Just a little bit of tidbit.
It's a pretty cool tidbit. Where'd you find this out?
This is on Scrubs Wiki.
So Wiki could have made this shit up. They don't know.
Listen, we had a lot of funny stuff in this episode. I started off like not laughing and then... By the end,
you're laughing.
It's a slow start.
Hold up. Yeah. What's up with this doctor with taking everybody's pants off? This isn't the first time we've seen this.
Yeah, he's just his thing. I don't know if it's supposed to be that he's gay and likes to look at men's packages, or, I mean, what could be the only other reason?
Well, when Turk found out he had diabetes, wasn't he in his underwear?
Yes.
This guy's got pink eye, and another guy has a mole, and they have to take their pants off.
Yeah.
I think it's just his pink eye.
He's like, why are my pants off? Yeah.
So Cox has a big meltdown because of losing the three patients. He leaves the hospital. He comes to work drunk.
JD freaks out by this.
JD,
it's not that he doesn't like it. He was also freaked out by it. Like, kind of fucks him up. Like, you know, he turns his back on his mentor.
Well, he's his hero. And to see someone you look up to fall... Like, if I saw Bill, like, in the fetal position because his show got canceled, I think I'd be freaked out. I'd be like, bro, I need you to be, like,
right, not
my
that.
Leader. My leader, right. Not like...
You need to not be this right now, bro.
Yeah. Right. So I understand it. Yeah. Gloria, we get clear that Gloria is, in fact, with Leonard.
And she's never going back, dude. She's never going back.
Because of the expression, once you go black, you never go back.
But then Leonard loves him some white meat.
Yeah, Leonard loves white meat.
Not only does he love white meat, he thanks God pretty much. God, I love me some white meat.
Is that what he says? I love me some white meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an expression, once you go black, you never go back. I like to say as a Jewish person, once you go tribe, you've got to subscribe.
You must subscribe.
Oh, my gosh.
we learned that Barry, Elliot's brother, was sent to hetero camp.
Yikes.
This sounds like that brother that's on the freaking on the internet now that was delivered from being gay. And he's like, I'm not gay no more. Trying to fight the demon down. I love women's!
Was that like an evangelist video?
This is a real video. Like this dude, I don't know much about the gentleman. You know what I mean?
But
I don't
he
know
said much. That but he believed he had been converted.
Right. I don't know if he's gay again now or if he's not gay anymore. I don't know. Like, you know.
I don't think you can pray the gay away.
You know,
no, you can't.
I don't. I come from that also. I feel the same way. But there are people that are holding their true feelings inside in the name of their religion. And,
yeah. Well, that's a sad.
Very
thought.
Scary. Yeah, it's
that's
very
a
scary.
Sad thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So Carl is very hormonal and very worked up.
Yes.
She comes up with the plan that we're all going to take turns monitoring Dr. Cox.
Yes.
Then we learn there's a donkey boy in the ICU.
Yeah. The face that you and I make when the janitor says, I was like, no way. And then I was like, oh, my God, there's a donkey boy in the ICU. And then
well,
you and
then,
I look at
then,
each other.
Then Kelso goes, for God's sakes, Reed, there's a donkey boy upstairs. Then we go see the donkey boy, and he's just a boy. Well, first he looks like a donkey, and then the fantasy's over, and he just looks like a boy with buck teeth. Then what's crazy is we learn that Kelso invites us to a donkey show.
Yes.
Which, as I understand it, I don't know much. I've never been to one, but is it where what does a woman pleasure a donkey? Is that what happens, Joel?
Yeah, or a donkey's pleasured by, yes, or a donkey pleasures a woman.
One of those two things.
One of yeah. the
okay.
other
so
is,
we learn that there
enjoys
is
a, it.
Now, we also learn that he goes every Thursday.
Yes, it's a standing invitation. Standing invitation. So wait, now listen. So this
Kelso
is what we learned.
The,
not only
is so
Kelso
twisted.
into Korean prostitutes.
I forgot if they were Korean.
It's either Korean or Filipino. I think it's Korean. Filipino yes. sounds too hard to say. Yeah. He's into Korean prostitutes.
Yes, a donkey shows once a week.
He's also into bestiality.
Yeah.
He's what is next? Man. Well, I mean, the donkey. When, yeah, once you get to the donkey part, yes, it gets a little twisted.
I think
I'm not
one
lie.
Donkey show. Listen, if you were like
in your life,
I don't. I think if you're in like, where do they do donkey shows? Like, no,
somewhere,
like
somewhere,
Bangkok
they had,
or something.
No, don't put that on Thailand, dude. Don't do that. Don't.
What
you
is
do
even
that.
Happening?
Don't even. Do
Joelle,
that.
Can you learn where and where?
Where do they where do donkey sex?
No, you know she doesn't want that on her search engine.
Joelle, create
she's gonna
a
get
line.
Reminders.
There's a thing you can do. Daniel will tell you. There's
don't
a thing
forget
you can
that
do.
Donkey show tonight.
It's called incognito mode.
Yeah, incognito mode. Joelle's gonna get email that's like, "Hey, there's a donkey show in your area."
Okay. Where do they do donkey?
I think it's either Tijuana or Bangkok.
I think don't you're right that. With TJ.
I think TJ might be better.
I'm not gonna lie. I just Googled where do they do donkey shows, and as opposed to you know how like Google will give you like an answer up top as opposed yeah. to just links, straight up Tijuana, Mexico.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
So if you're interested in this kind of thing. Now, we assume that Scrubs takes place in Los Angeles.
But maybe it's close to Mexico. Maybe it's
yeah,
closer.
But you're saying that he goes to TJ every Thursday?
Maybe Scrubs takes place
oh,
in San
you know
Diego.
What? No, because Elliot has to take a train to go to SeaWorld, so that wouldn't work.
No, it doesn't work. You're right.
Why would Elliot have to take a long train, a midnight train going Trains. Anywhere?
Midnight train to SeaWorld.
So wait a second. Unless Kelso doesn't go to Tijuana every Thursday, he knows an underground donkey show.
Yeah, it could be black market donkey show.
A black market underground donkey yeah. show. Okay, yeah. That's probably more likely.
Yeah. But nevertheless, Turk and JD pass on the donkey show. It's yes. a standing invitation, and they pass on every yes. version of that invitation.
Then we hear Jack's first words, Daddy drinks a lot.
Yes. Unfortunate. That kid's going to be fucked up.
I remember that those were twin boys, and that they must have just learned to talk because they never had a line before. I don't think.
Okay. No,
Todd tells the nurse, I need you to drain some fluid,
and then I need you to help me with this patient. Oh boy!
Fired.
He can't exist. He can't exist in this world. In real life, Todd does not exist in real life. No, if you're a Todd in real life, you've been fired, and you're sitting at home right now like, what the fuck did I do?
If you're a Todd in real life and you haven't been fired, then you should be. You slipped me. I come to hug you in college, and I've got my mullet, and this made me laugh so hard. You flip me, and then I go, your sports team. No, first I run to you. I go, your sports team won the World Series. And then you flip me, and I go, a grand slam. So Turk was not into hugging in college.
Turk's not into hugging now.
Well, certain people, just not this new orthopedic surgeon.
Which is really weird. Like, first of all, I don't know you well enough for you to be all up on my shoulder like that. Like, Turk, like, I don't know. I think this goes for anyone. If you just meet somebody and they're freaking damn near noogieing you when they talk to you and stuff like that, your feelings for that person are going to definitely be, one, aggro, and two, be a little put, like, you don't necessarily want to be around somebody like that. And so it makes perfect sense that Turk is like that. Not because the dude's a sensei, but the dude is freaking really, 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 like, if you watch them in they're in surgery, and this guy's like, fucking grab a Turk, like, get over here, kid, you and me, guy. Right. Turk, I don't...
That's Paul Adelstein, who played him, and he was very funny. I thought he did a very good job.
Very funny. But that's just my point. I don't think it's the fact that the guy is a sensei. I know it says it in the script, but I think the annoying thing is that the guy is like, you know, damn near noogie.
JD's description of a sensei. Our music choices are acoustic alternative. We marvel at fireflies. And the only copying we do, if our female friend is drunk, is copping her hair back to help her puke.
No, you go, sure, we cop a feel, but we cop a feel by pulling her hair back.
To help her vomit. Yeah. So you upset the orthopedic surgeon because...
By saying he's too touchy-feely.
Yes, and Rob has the intercom on, of course. And then you're like, oh, who's this guy, the most sensitive guy in the world? And then you see JD go to give the surgeon a hug.
Right. Is there anyone else? It's pretty much a freaking Matthew Perry joke from Friends. Could there be anyone more sensitive?
Yeah.
And then here you go.
And so he's hugging me. I go, it's a little tight. No, I go, a little tighter?
Yeah.
It's too tight. There's a good spot.
It was like, there's a good medium or something like that.
No, I said, there's a good spot. So this parachutist, remember, Sarah was on the show, and she talked about the stuntman who played the guy who parachutes and hits her, how he was quite older than she expected, and it was a very weird day for her because
she made out with an old man.
She had to make out with the guy because they wasn't like, you know, oftentimes if you just have to make out with a random guy, they'll be like, oh, Sarah, do you want to pick one of these guys who has to be the random guy you make out with. You know, you might pick someone you're at least a little bit attracted to. Because it was a stuntman and he was just the guy who showed up that day, they were like, Sarah, oh, and then you'll be making out with Jim?
And Sarah he's like, with no teeth in his mouth and just one yellow tooth with all the fucking plaque that could be on it.
Yeah, and poor Sarah. She had to make out with him.
Okay, so we got to get into this because this made me laugh really hard. And we talk about it on this podcast a lot, but the more you know.
Dun, 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 dun. That was so funny.
Shit was hilarious. What do you think? One of the day meme... at work. You come home.
I wrote it down. Tough day at the office. So you come home, smother your kids, pop in a movie, maybe have a drink. It's fun, right? No. Don't smother your kids.
The more you know.
Dun, dun. Dan will play that. Dun,
great one.
Dun, dun, dun. That's one of the memes that's been sent to me most in my whole Scrubs career, is this the more you know thing.
Sounds fun, right?
Wrong.
Don't smother your kids.
Don't smother your kids. And by the way.
And then even the off-balance walkout, like the off-balance in the video where you're like trying to keep your balance.
When those things were so cheesy, you played it perfectly. You kind of would strut out after you drop knowledge on everybody.
But you'd have to be, but it's like you're off-balance, like your knowledge is so powerful that it kind of throws you off-balance.
But I was spoofing how everyone, some people listening to this.
Like they lean against the wall and then they push off.
Some people listening to this are probably too young to remember these, but there was always sort of a walk away with attitude thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dude, I remember going there and used to, I even got it into one of the More You Knows where I literally sang it. I was like, the more you know.
No.
Did you ever have to do More You Know commercials? Did you do any?
I don't know if I ever did a real one.
Oh, dude, I did a real one. I did real ones for it. I was so happy when they were like, do you want to do a More You Know commercial? I was like, fuck yeah, I want to do a More You Know
commercial. While you were on Scrubs?
This is the only time I could do it. We were on NBC.
Oh, because it was NBC's thing. By the way, JD gives an in. This is from Scrubs Wiki. JD gives an incorrect description of Munchausen syndrome. When someone fakes or induces an illness in themselves, it's called Munchausen syndrome. When they do it to someone else, such as a child, it's called Munchausen syndrome by proxy, which is what's actually being checked for in the episode.
That makes sense.
So there's the.
Does this
know.
Have anything?
Dun, dun, play it again. Dun 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 dun. What?
Hey, does Munchausen syndrome have anything to do with Baron Munchausen, the movie?
No, I don't think so,
but let me.
Did you see the Joey King movie on Hulu about the true story of the mom who was like drugging her kid to make her feel like she, and telling her she was sick? That was Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Yeah, Eminem has that in one of his songs.
All right, Ted's band singing Put on a Happy Face was delightful.
Amazing. Amazing. They looked great too.
Yeah, and Cox did not want them there. Very special that we get the appearance, first and only, I think, appearance of Knife Wrench. Knife Wrench!
Is it? Mm. I feel like it was, okay, but that was very funny. Knife Wrench!
Practical and safe. And then he stabs himself.
Yeah, safe for kids.
No, and they, no, he comes back later and he goes, for kids.
Mm. Knife Wrench!
Now, I think this menthol spray thing is so funny. This is real, by the way, those of you who aren't in Hollywood. When someone can't cry... And or you did cry and this continuity is wrong, they will spray, or now I guess they're doing it more and more digitally, but they can also spray this little menthol spray in your eyes, which, not spray, they blow it. And it just, it's like you have a holes in your eyeball and they just start tearing and it makes you look like you're crying.
And you can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
It makes it so that JD's able to tell the story about his German... financier,
oh my God,
Hans.
That was so funny.
I remember shooting that scene. This is the one scene out of the whole episode I remember shooting that. I remember sitting across from you.
My German financier died on the Autobahn.
We laughed about this quite a bit. Quite a bit. I remember us laughing about it. We got through the scene pretty fast, but I remember us laughing about this part quite a bit. Last night, And just how nonchalantly it in my German.
My German financier Hans died on the Autobahn, and now I have to shoot Dr. Acula on my cell phone.
Cell phone, yeah.
But I was also stealing the menthol, a lot of the menthols. I guess there's a lot of crying in Dr. Acula.
I guess so. I guess so. I guess so.
Because wouldn't you love to see the cell phone video footage of JD's attempt to shoot Dr. Acula?
I'm not going to lie to you. I want to just see Dr. Acula happen. I kind of want that to happen.
It's my dying wish.
More than, well, don't die yet, but I kind of
But before they put me in the ground, I want to I want to see Dr. Acula. Munchausen syndrome was named after a German cavalry officer, Baron von Munchausen.
Baron Munchausen.
A man who traveled widely and was known for his dramatic but untruthful stories. Wow, yeah, Don, you were right. In 1951, Richard Asher described a pattern of self-abuse where individuals fabricated histories of illness. These fabrications most often led to complex medical investigations, hospitalizations, and needless surgery. Remembering Baron von Munchausen and his mythical tales, Asher named this condition Munchausen syndrome. Wow, Donald, I'm sorry. When you said that, I laughed at you.
Take it back.
I do take it back. I'm sorry that I doubted your cleverness.
Okay, so
I say,
what we've learned today. One, Zach did not win the Emmy. We were all pissed about it. Two, Donald Faison's pretty clever. Three, we're going to be right back. We're going to commercial break.
And we're back!
And we're back!
I like when I'm telling you, I'm trying to get this plan going where you're going to show the orthopedic surgeon that you're a sensei, and he goes to hug Colonel Doctor, and I go, it's going to take, okay, we got 7 seconds. And you go, a hug takes 7 seconds? And I go, a good one does.
A good one.
And then when you're about to go, I go, okay, Blaction.
Blaction. Yeah.
The music at the end was very moving. Gary Jules.
Well, let's talk about the monologue first, dude.
Go ahead.
Okay.
What did you think of it? What did you think of it?
I remember watching this monologue. It's not often that I remember a lot of the shows that we do, but I remember watching the shows that we did together. I remembered us doing the Dr. Aculysine, and I remembered watching this monologue. I don't know why I remember it so much. Maybe Johnny bought me in for it to watch it, or maybe John Michelle bought me in to watch it. I don't know what it was, but I remember watching that monologue over and over again, and it has some really great beats. And my favorite beat is when you tell him that you're proud of him because, you know, he cares so much about his patients. And that's not something that a lot of doctors hear nowadays because, you know, a lot of, let's keep it honest, to survive in a hospital, you can't feel that way. And it was just a great moment in Scrubs history and in the medical field, because when you find a doctor like that, it really does, you know, it really does go a long way. You talk about, you know, Amanda's doctor and how, you know, he truly put a lot of effort in to helping save Nick, and that they became sort of like a family and everything like that now, and now he's her doctor. Mm. You don't necessarily hear stories like that. And, you know, shout out to Scrubs for showing the other side of it, because we did for a really long time make fun of, or not make fun of, but make light of very serious situations. And this is a moment in the Scrubs history where it really affects one of our heroes, and we show what they go through. I do feel at the end, however, that it's a quick turnaround because of what JD says to him. I do feel like his falling out of his depression is very fast. And
well, I don't know if it was meant to be that night. I think maybe that's I just inferred that was like a week later.
Oh, is that how you looked at it?
Yeah.
I looked at it as that night, but it was very, it's a very, you know, the medical field, a lot of people on the front line that we talk about, they're human, and we've made them to be heroes because they are, obviously, but they're human too at the end of the day. And everything that, you know, frontline workers are going through right now, it affects them. And, you know, we talk about kids in masks and we talk about us in masks, but let's talk about like how this is going to affect them in the future, how it affects people who have had to see death over and over again in the future, how that's going to affect them. And we don't talk about that enough, I think.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's not going anywhere. I think we're going to be with this for a very long time.
Yeah, but I think I also think that, you know, doctors, just to get back on it, we don't talk about the emotion, the shit that they carry.
The emotional toll. When are you going to mention how good my acting is? Is that going to come up at all?
Well, I thought I did when I said the
speech.
No,
it was very indirect. You said that it was moving to you.
Oh, and it was such a great... Okay, well, the way you delivered it was really great. And I definitely, you know... Zach, you're a very talented person, and you're a very, very, very bright person. And I often say that your directing is like, you know, top notch, and I think you should direct Star Wars and Marvel and all of that stuff. But this was a moment where I watched you act and perform, where I was very, very impressed, and I want to give you a shout out for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that unprompted compliment. No, thank you. I thought it's a powerful scene, and I like it.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't. And you know, it's a total straight scene between me and Johnny. And the music was beautiful. Gary Jules singing Something Else. And then that funny button where I try and drink scotch and he goes, you don't drink scotch. And I spit it back in the cup. And then
do you drink scotch in real life?
No. I try and act cool. I get sent fancy bottles of scotch and whiskey as presents, and I always am like, okay. I like Google it, like, wow, this is a really expensive bottle. Let me try this. And every time I'm like, it tastes like paint thinner.
You should call me up. I'll drink it for you.
Okay. I have a really pricey one that Apple sent me here.
Oh, really?
Okay.
You guys can try it. Do you like scotch, Daniel?
Nah.
Joelle?
That's not for
it
me.
It tastes like turpentine to me.
That shit is like candy to me, man.
Really?
Anybody who's anyone who's a scotch drinker. There's certain scotches like Macallan. I'm gonna tell you something right now. That shit tastes like sugar going down.
Well, listen. There's no such thing as a person that didn't acquire that taste. No one tasted scotch and was like,
No, you're absolutely right. No one tasted alcohol, period, and was like, this is the best thing ever.
Agreed.
Well, I think wine probably.
No, man, that shit's all poison. Literally, you're drinking poison. For all of you out there who don't know, you are literally drinking poison.
Yeah, your body's having a reaction to something it doesn't want.
It's having a reaction to poison. Yes, to poison.
All right. That girl is poison.
Never trust a big button to smile, that girl is.
Never trust a big button to smile, Daniel.
Whether it be on a girl or a boy.
I was listening. I'm obsessed with this podcast called Team Deacons. For those of you who don't know, Roger Deacons is largely considered one of the greatest cinematographers of all time, and he has
not the brother that directed. Did he DP Empire Strikes Back?
I don't think so.
No.
But if you Google movies shot by Roger Deakins, they will be some of the most
beautiful
films. He did
Blade Runner.
That is a fucking fire movie.
Mm-hmm. Peter Shushitsky did Empire Strikes Back.
I worked with Peter Shushitsky.
A guy I used to PA with, first AD'd Garden State, and he became a big first AD, and now he literally just does the biggest movies in the world. He does the Bond movies. He did 1917.
Wow.
And so Roger
Deakins. Really? Lerman did that?
Yeah. Wow. Deakins doesn't just have cinematographers on. He has other people in different positions, and he had Lerman on today, and I'm like listening, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And all of a sudden, Roger Deakins, who's like living legend, is like, now tell me about Garden State. And Michael's like, yeah, so Zach and I, Roger's like, yeah, we just watched that film because we're going to have Larry Sherron. And
wow.
And I'm like, oh, I'm like, oh my God. And then Michael's like, yeah, Zach used to, we used to PA together. He was a horrible PA. And they all,
oh, wow.
And they all laugh. And Deacons goes, well, it's a good thing he got into acting then.
God damn it.
That's funny. That's funny.
And
guest is here, by the way.
Okay.
You want to go to ad first?
Yeah, let's go to break.
Oh, yeah, we'll be right back. And we're back.
We've been back, dude. I don't know
now,
why you
Joelle,
just did that.
Are you recording? Because sometimes you don't record the guests.
One time it happened.
Okay. I got Joelle, you know why you didn't record?
It's not the reason. Oh, no. It's a technical glitch.
I thought I brought my weed in here. I thought I did.
You don't need to do. We had agreement that you don't do weed during the show.
Into the closet?
Vapes. It's vapes. It just doesn't
stink
count.
Up them clothes.
Vapes doesn't stink up your clothes, does it?
Okay,
vapes,
the vapes
like 89%. Okay, anyway.
All right,
tell me.
The guests,
vapes are 89% what?
THC. It's highly
strong.
Concentrated THC.
It's strong.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
He doesn't keep his word. He doesn't keep his word.
Guest is here. Y'all ready?
Yes.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Archie!
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. It's Archie.
Yo, it's Archie. Hey. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Dude. Wow. Joelle, that was a quick turnaround.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
We were just bumping your.
So wait, I have so many questions.
Real friends beat. I need to write a rap.
So for the audience, it's Archie. He made a remix that he put on Twitter of me and Donald talking. Archie, what do you do? You're a DJ? Are you make beats? What do you do?
I'm a full-time cook at our family's restaurant.
Nice.
Oh.
Where's your family's restaurant at?
We are in the small little town in Alaska known as Ketchikan.
Ketchikan, Alaska. Ketchikan, awesome. Alaska.
Yes, that's not that tiny town where everyone lives in one building, is it?
No. That's not it. We're in like a very, like, if you were to like look at a map of Alaska, this is like a hand map of Alaska.
Yeah.
But like at the very southeast of it right there. Okay. We're about an hour. If you were to fly to, it's like close to Seattle. It's very, very close to Seattle, like about an hour or so flight.
Oh, that's good. So you can escape when you want.
Yeah.
Shout out Trajan Langdon.
Okay. So, but you're obviously a skilled beat maker because you made a beat. Can you play the what you made for everyone so they can hear it? Because some people might not have heard it.
Yeah.
Hey, for all y'all out there, drop it now, Daniel. Not now.
Triple drop, triple drop.
My shit comes out in the slide.
Triple drop, triple drop. Triple drop, triple drop.
My shit comes out in the slide.
Triple drop, triple drop. Triple drop, triple drop.
My shit comes out in the slide.
Triple drop, triple drop. Triple drop. Triple dribble, dribble drop, triple drop, triple drop, triple drop, triple drop.
My shit comes out in the slide.
Triple drop, triple drop, triple drop, triple drop.
My shit comes out in the slide.
Triple drop, triple drop, triple drop, triple drop.
My shit comes out in the slide.
Triple drop, triple drop, triple drop, triple dribble, dribble drop, triple drop, triple dribble, dribble drop.
Especially in the morning when you wake up.
Daniel, why are you making that face? How did you come up with the idea to remix Donald and I, A, and B, will you please keep doing it because we thoroughly enjoyed it?
I need to write something to it.
It was just, I listen, like, whenever I listen to the podcast, it's usually during when I'm prep cooking, like cutting veggies and everything. And usually I'm either listening to music or listening to the podcast. So I was listening to the podcast the other day, and all of a sudden, all I hear is... And dribble drop, dribble, dribble, dribble drop. And I was like, hey, that's got like a particular rhythm to it. So
was Donald talking about his urine stream?
Yes. Yep, exactly. Okay. That's exactly.
Well, I forgot what it was from. It was when you were talking about how as an older 47-year-old, your pee is like dribble drop, dribble, dribble drop.
Yeah. Yeah. And first I was like, I could put this over that Snoop Dogg beat. That do you know which one I'm talking about?
Drop it like it's hot.
Yeah. And that's what I heard first, but then I was like, let's try to do something else. So like I sampled it out and put it on to like to my recording program. And then I was like, okay, let's see what we can make out of it. And all of a sudden I was just like, okay, let's just create this beat. And then that's kind of how it happened.
Well, it's very funny. I'd like you to make some more beats. First one using this.
You honor me. You honor
me. Ooh.
And then I think you could really build something off this.
What you trying to get into a day or soon? What you trying to do?
Oh, man. Yes.
I'll send you the waves.
It's funny that you mentioned. Okay. Appreciate
and also,
it.
And also this one.
Oh, for fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I can do that for you.
So wait. So is beat making, music making your hobby if you're a full-time chef?
Yeah. It's pretty much a hobby. Like I do it just because I love it. I went to school for music and I graduated in music, but I didn't end up doing anything with it. So I just kind of got burnt out. But then just making beats has just been like a thing that just kind of keeps me connected to doing it, to just being with music. And, you know, it's kind of I still kind of aspire to have a place in like not necessarily the music industry, but just working with artists and stuff like that. It's kind of hard because like that's actually kind of getting into my fix my life.
Okay,
just go into it.
Go into your fix your life. We can do that first.
It's time for
Alaska's favorite segment, Donald.
What segment is that, Zach? That's what I'm talking about.
It's called Fix Your Life.
Awesome. All right. So you know I love making loops and I aspire kind of to get a placement with an artist or even making background music for like commercials and shows. That's kind of the dream. So like for now, I gotta get the music out there. I know it's possible, but the hardest thing for me is to finish a project. I don't know if it's like anxiety or worry or just worrying about like being good, but it kind of cripples me, kind of keeps me from like actually getting a project done and putting it out. So my question is just generally, like, how do I get myself to finish a project?
This is something that every artist faces, and it's the difference between people that complete things and get them made and those who get stuck in purgatory. There's no difference between you, if you've got talent, and someone who's living their dream making beats. It's that they work their asses off and they complete their projects and they hustle hard. So you can't sit there and go, why is it not happening for me, if you're not finishing your shit? You know, you gotta be hard on yourself and make time commitments to yourself. Say, it's so easy to get distracted now more than ever with everything going on in our lives and TV screens and phones and everything. But you got to lock the phone away. You got to turn the phone off. You got to close your door and say, I'm not leaving this room until I complete that beat that I've been working on. You have to push yourself. You have to give yourself restrictions.
It's committing to finish. It really is committing to finishing, because you can get halfway there or you can get 3/4 of the way there. And sometimes 3/4 of the way there feels like it's enough. Where it's enough is when you finish the project. Now, the thing that you're going through right now, everyone goes through. This is something that all creatives go through. If you're a creative person, you're most likely going through this right now. You know what I mean? The commitment to finishing should be all that is. When you get to this level, to this point, that should be all that's on your mind. I got to finish this project so I can move on to the next. It's not finish this project so I can sit back and relax. It's I got to finish this project so I can get to the next project.
Something that really helps me a lot is being accountable to someone. So I will say, you know, you could do it with a fellow creative. You could say, we're going to commit to each other. You, let's say, I don't know, she's a painter and you're a music maker. We are going to, by Sunday night, finish our thing. Or for me, it's been helpful a lot. I've worked with coaches, like writing coaches, who are sort of teachers and coaches, but they'll also be like, should be like, okay, so that scene you're going to write sounds great. Why don't you send it to me Monday morning? So now I can't procrastinate because my coach, who I'm paying money to, I got to turn in my homework, if you will. It's like back in the old days, right, when you had to do it because you had homework. That really, that discipline really helps me. And so you can say, make a deal for no money, make a deal with a fellow creative and be like, let's give each other a deadline that we're both committed to. You're going to give me your thing, whatever it may be, a piece of writing, a poem, a painting, another song, and I'm going to give you my thing by this date. And you have a commitment, and you don't want to break your word. I mean, I find that when I have deadlines, even if they're manufactured, it really helps me.
Deadlines work, man. I'm working on this project right now, and my producer always gives me this deadline. It's always this. It would be great if I could have it today, but I need it by tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so by the end of the... All I hear is it'd be great I could have it to me if I could have it today. Because if I can have it today, if she could have it today, then I don't have to worry about it tomorrow. You know what
right.
I mean? So it's like you're trying to, you know, Zach said something that was really fucking awesome too, to me, that really made me view how I was doing things. If you want something done, give it to a busy person. Mm-hmm. I had never heard that before. And you would imagine that a busy person can't get things done for you because there's no time in a day. But someone who's busy has the ability to section their day out arrange their day that they can find space for anything.
A busy person is in hustle mode, so they will schedule it. They will schedule it. Like, I have so much going on right now between prepping my movie and this podcast and a bunch of other life stuff. And like my life is scheduled down to the minute. So,
I went and bought an event planner, like a book, because he told me about that shit. And when you write it down, it's in your face, dude. It's always in your face. And
yeah, that's another thing I like is I don't really like digital calendars. I mean, they're good for day to day. Like, what do I gotta do? But I like a big ass, and they'll sell. Look at Joelle. They'll sell. You can buy them on Amazon or at like a paper source kind of staples kind of. They'll sell you a desk pad sized calendar. That's the size I like the size of your whiteboard.
I like a calendar
that I like, or you can use the whiteboard obviously too. But I like a giant calendar and then write on there deadline days. And just you got to keep your word to yourself, because if you don't keep your word to yourself, then you're done for.
You're bullshitting anyway. If you're not keeping your word to yourself, you're bullshitting.
So set a date that's reasonable for yourself, because you got your job and you got commitments, I'm sure, to friends and family. Set a date that is realistic and doable, and then just make it and promise, and don't allow yourself to break your word to yourself.
Mm. Also know that meeting a deadline doesn't mean you can't make adjustments later. A lot of times I can't finish when I was having trouble not finishing things, it's because I was like, well, it's not perfect yet. It's not right. Who can possibly look at this? It's awful. Screw that. I said I was going to be done by this day. So it's done. It still needs work, though. OK, so now I got to go back and edit. Now I got to share it with somebody and get some more thoughts. You can always keep pushing and growing and making it better. But if you're not finishing, then you can never get to the part where you make it better, because you're always sort of.
That's a good point. The hardest thing is getting it done, like a first draft done. Mm. So get your version of whatever first draft is done. Then I always find once I've got my screenwriting wise, once I've got a first draft done, I look so much more forward to going back and tweaking and fixing and changing.
Totally.
It's just the amassing. It's like the clay analogy. Amassing all the clay first is so intimidating. But then once you have it and you've got a completed song and now you're like, okay, now I'm done, but now I'm going to go fuck with it. Then that's when screenwriting, you're going like, take that scene out. Ooh, what if he's like this? And you're shaping. That's so much more fun than the first, like, let me get my first draft thing up to me.
Yeah, yes, Daniel.
Daniel, go ahead.
I also want to add, so as someone who has been in your position exactly as a beat maker and has then gone on to actually release music and have it do some stuff, I really recommend harnessing your creativity when you have it. There's a lot of times when you're like, okay, I'm in a creative mode. I have to finish this thing. Instead of concentrating on finishing it, start a new project, especially when it comes to beats. Like what you made for Zach and Donald, what you made for the show, we're talking about like a 4-bar loop. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You have the loop, you have the sample, you put it together. That's something that in your head, in your first draft, can come together pretty quickly. Make hundreds of those. Mm. Make a lot of those. Don't focus so much on like, I have to quote unquote finish this beat. Because like Joelle said, maybe you're never going to finish. But if you cut off the font of creativity by focusing on one specific thing, you might never get anything done. But maybe on the next project, you find, oh, the creativity doesn't stop flowing, and you make a beat for 2 hours, and all of a sudden it's done because you just moved on to the next thing. Especially with beat making, do not cut off your font of creativity. The second you feel yourself being like, what do I do here? The idea is done. Move on to the next thing. Open a new project, make a new beat, change the BPM, get some new drum sounds in there. Just keep creating. Keep that going.
Get a new sound like this. Get a new sound like this.
Zach, I love you. Zach, I love you.
Here's a great example of what Daniel's saying. So Pac, you just know how Pac has all of this music that he was able to release after he passed away and everything like that. Like there's just so much music. And the reason why was because he would go into the studio, do the song, do a rap, and then move on to the next one. And people were like, well, what about the fills? And what about the, let's complete the song later. And stuff. He was like, later. We could do that some other time. The song is fucking done. You can fucking, you got my vocals. Let's go to the next song. You know what I mean? It's the same. It's contradictive of what I said earlier, but Daniel's absolutely right, man. It doesn't mean the beats, if you're saying, oh, I don't feel like the beat's finished, but I don't know what to put in it. That shit's done for now, dude. Let's go to the next one.
I want to give you a specific example off of something that we talk about, that we praise on the show. Think about all the transition sounds for Scrubs. That's a single guitar strum. And it's attached to... Like, making a 4-bar loop, making just the beginning of a beat, that's enough for someone like a Tupac or any other rapper or someone to then listen to and be like, oh, I got this. Yeah. And then if you want to add to it, you can make something more later. But the more that you commit to and develop something, like maybe you're overthinking it. Just take the 4 bars that you're like, oh, this is really hot. Put that aside. Boom, you got it. Make another 4-bar loop. Make another 4-bar loop. Just keep creating. I have a playlist of hundreds of just 4-bar loops where I just listen to it over and over because I got the basics down of what I wanted. But it's not like finished, but that's okay because you have the idea down. Make sure you get your ideas down so that as you're like banging your head against the wall trying to finish something, you don't stop the font of creativity.
And here's another sound you could use, Archie.
use that one clap.
Generic. I think that's generic.
No, I think I might have that.
I own this one and a lap and a rap by a little homie Lamar.
Oh, that reminds me of actually at the beginning, if you listen to the video that was of you, Zach, laughing, there was like a little bit of a sound. And I was like, oh, that kind of sounds like a clap, too, if I can use that, too.
You can use it all. By the way, Archie, the other way to motivate you is when they're fire, we'll play them on the podcast and give you credit.
Yes. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I want to rap over one of them.
Yeah, that'll never happen. That'll never happen.
It will if you freaking submit something.
Okay.
Send it to Dan, or we could get it going. We'll get it popping.
Send me whatever you want. Don't like to write the raps that much anymore.
Archie, if you ever want advice on your
I got a couple of things that are freaking, you know.
Wait, Daniel's giving him some real help. What, Daniel, say that
he
again?
Told him to send him the beats, dude.
I'm just saying, you know, I don't know if you were
Archie heard him. He wasn't listening to me. Send him the beats, Archie. Stop fucking around.
Right. Get the conversation
going.
I was part of a group called Gladiator. If you want to look us up on Spotify or SoundCloud and see if the kind of music I made is something that you're interested in, I'm happy to give you any advice you need. So just
that's my go-to soundtrack when I'm touching myself is Gladiator.
Boom.
No, I do. I can't rub one out if I don't want to listen to Gladiator.
I can't bust without Gladiator.
Oh no.
Talk about sampling. I'm sampling that.
I can't bust without Gladiator.
Oh my
Gladiator!
Archie, I think we have time for one question.
Okay. I had these two, but I guess this one's for everybody just because like I think it'll hit everyone pretty well. So big fan of movies too. Garden State soundtrack is probably like one of my favorite soundtracks of all time.
Thank you.
That soundtrack's all right. I mean, if anything, it's a mixtape.
Oh boy.
Mm.
It is. I mean, you can ask him yourself. It's a mixtape. All of those songs were released before.
Yeah. It definitely got me into more indie stuff too.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
Here's the thing that Zach has a very good knack for. He has a feel for emotion within scenes. And he has a musical connection to it also. You know what I mean?
I think it comes from growing up loving musicals. I mean, since if I point to why I'm decent at it, it's the very first art form I ever appreciated was musicals.
Right.
And those are about expressing emotion through song at the right time in a story.
Right. But it transcends even into soundtrack. You know what I mean?
Because
it's
saying.
Because it's not like you found these new artists or anything like that. All of these people were around. All of these songs
weren't, but of course some of them were. But some of the bands, like, for example, Coldplay was breaking, but the boost of the success, the synergy with Garden State made it happen exponentially more. I didn't help them break. They were on fire, but it poured gasoline on the fire. The Shins were about to break. And I fucking drenched them in gasoline, and that made they were always going to break. But it was the right time. And like Archie said, a lot of people. This was the music me and my friends were listening to in L.A. I was surrounded by it. Some of my friends were writing this music. We were going to the places like Largo, and this was kind of the scene that I was in L.A. And I was surrounded by it. But people like Archie and zillions of other people hadn't heard this kind of music before. And it exposed so many people to this sort of, you know, singer-songwriter acoustic sound.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Imogen Heap.
Especially you, Donald. Donald, you said that yourself.
Like, Imogen and what was the name of the band that she was in for Beauty of a Breakdown? Let go.
07? Let go. Right. Frou-Frou?
Yeah, 07. Frou-Frou.
Frou-Frou.
That's right. That's jumping. 07.
Dude, that song so I had never heard before. And that's one of the, I mean, if you ask me on that soundtrack, that by far is my favorite song on the soundtrack. It's like, at that point I had never heard anything like that. That shit was fire.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Awesome.
What was your question, Archie?
That actually brings me to the question for everybody. Like we all love films and TV. So it's like, what would be your all time favorite, like song piece or background from film or TV?
Why are you asking me this? You know the answer.
Yeah.
Now you're going to make him hum the fucking Vader's theme?
It's not Vader's theme.
What is it? Do it. Do it. We're all waiting.
No. Well, the Force is what gives a Jedi its power.
A classic.
Classic.
You can't beat that.
Mine is it's lambda lambda lambda
and mega move.
All right, we got to end our show there, Archie. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate you, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. We love you, Donald.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and.